This week, we're talking about the elements of the Entered Apprentice degree. Not much information is available on chalk, charcoal, and clay, but this week, we're going to pull the resources and we're going to be able to give you the information you've been looking for. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is episode number 455. I hope you enjoyed last week's episode, The Rosicrucian Truth. My thanks once again goes out to Brother Louis for his excellent work in that area. First thing is first, I do want to thank our contributors, our fellows, our producers for allowing us to do this program week after week, month after month, year after year. Without you, we just can't do it. And I want to thank you all once again, as I always do. Secondly, I did want to mention that one of the other notices that I got regarding what to cover was a note from Brother Lawrence, who said, you know, he'd love to hear more about organizations like Boda, Hermetic Order of Gold and Dawn, AMORC, and their similarities with Freemasonry. A relatively new listener, hasn't gone through all of the WCY podcast episodes, so there may already be a lot of recorded material that I'm not aware of yet. And of course, there is. But I think that last episode, 454, likely gave you a really great rundown. So I hope episode number 454 did it for you. You know, I've got more information than I could probably do something on, like an episode on Builders of the Adytum. I've got a lot of messages on that, and maybe something I can put together in the future. He really enjoyed the presentation on the Tetragrammaton that I did on the Refracted Light Facebook channel. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate those words. I will definitely check out your suggestions on the book that you recommended. And he says he's got a ticket for the Mid-Atlantic Esotericon. Hopefully he'll get a chance to meet and say hello. And well, of course, we'll be meeting virtually. So, I hope to be able to go ahead and meet you on a virtual platform also. My presentation, hopefully we did this, because I just realized, you know, by the time you're hearing this, it's over. And I'm sure it was a massive success. And actually, by the time you're hearing this, I probably just got home. I went on a little road trip and presented virtually while on a kind of vacation. I also did want to address that Brother Stephen Johnston, he says, among some of his suggestions, one of which was a book review or a discussion with the author of Better Angels of Our Nature. Well, I did a book review on that, and it just so happens that, you know, I'm in pretty close contact with Brother Michael Halloran quite frequently. And I've offered to have him come on the show, but he says, man, I'm just an old dude, blah, 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 blah. But I agree. I would love to have Brother Mike Halloran come on the show and shoot the breeze a little bit and talk about Masonry and all of the great things that he's done and what the Grand Lodge of Kansas is doing. And it would be an awesome time to talk a little bit about that book, which is about the Civil War and just some really great stories in there. But Brother Stephen, I will put a link in this episode to the Midnight Freemason article that I wrote, which was a book review on Better Angels of Our Nature. And take a look at that, and hopefully that answers some of your question and quenches a little bit of your thirst. Some of your other things to have an in-depth look at the burning bush and the acacia tree and the DMT theory. Yeah. I think that's something we need to really talk about. We probably should have Brother P.D. Newman come on the show and talk a little bit about that with us. So look for that in the future. This week is a little bit shorter because I'm recording before this road trip that I have, so I need to get an episode out and I need to have this done. And so we're going to be a little bit shorter this week. The question that I wanted to hit on this week comes from a brother who just submitted something. He says, just tossing it out there, he's been researching chalk, charcoal, clay concepts mentioned in the Entered Apprentice lecture, and has found very little in the way of explanation and explorations for the symbolism of these items. I would love to hear a lecture on these. Well, brother, you are correct. You know, there is not a lot going on with chalk, charcoal, and clay concepts. but I found a few things, and I hope this helps you out. So, without any further delays, let's get into the education this week. Chalk, charcoal, and clay. Now, these three Masonic elements, as they're mentioned within our Entered Apprentice degree work, talk about the unique qualities of chalk, charcoal, and clay. And we basically tell a candidate that we really hope that in the becoming of a Freemason, as you progress the ladder of the three degrees, that you will take on yourself the various attributes of these three elements. Chalk, the least touch of which leaves a trace behind. So in this area, I would say this means something like leave your mark, make a positive impact. Charcoal, when properly ignited, the most obdurate of metals yield. So this could also allude to the idea of empowerment. And then of clay, which says, hey, clay comes from the earth, and what we do is we build things with it. But we always remember, from the earth we came, so to it we will return. Remember, you'll die. But in Freemasonry, we say chalk, charcoal, and clay, freedom, fervency, zeal. So what does the lexicon have to say? Well, Mackey's encyclopedia has a little bit more, but the lexicon from Mackey says one sentence. In fact, every time you find chalk, charcoal, and clay, they're always lumped together. It's not like you find chalk, then a few lines down, charcoal, and then you flip forward to clay. It doesn't really work that way. They're always lumped together. Now, here's what it says. Just one sentence in the lexicon. It says, by these three substances are beautifully symbolized the three qualifications for the servitude of an entered apprentice. So in this, it's saying that this is the servitude of an entered apprentice. This is the idea that you, as an entered apprentice, are somebody who is working for the lodge during your time as an entered apprentice. Now, of course, that never stops, but you learn how to serve your lodge with freedom, with fervency, with zeal, as you move up the quote-unquote ladder of the degree work. So, not a whole lot coming out of the lexicon of Freemasonry. Now, if you're interested, it's on page 71 of your lexicon of Freemasonry by Albert Mackey. Let's close this book. Now, a little bit cooler of a place that you can find some interesting work on these ideas comes from Morals and Dogma, of all places. So if you pick up your 100-year-old copy of Morals and Dogma, it says, on the symbolism of triads, okay, so the symbolism of threes, we have about a paragraph and a half here, and it briefly touches on this, so let's see what it says. There are three degrees in Blue Masonry, and in addition to the two words of two symbols each, embodying the binary three of three syllables each, there were three Grand Masters, the two kings, and Kirom, or Hiram, the artificer. The candidate gains admission by three raps, and three raps calls up the brethren. There are three principal officers of the lodge, three lights at the altar, three gates of the temple, all in the east, west, and south. The three lights represent the sun, the moon, and Mercury, Osiris, Isis, and Horus, the father, the mother, and the child, wisdom, strength, and beauty, Hakama, Benah, Dath, Gedula, Gebura, and Tepereth. The candidate makes three circuits of the lodge. There were three assassins, and he was slain by three blows while seeking to escape by the three gates of the temple. What was done at the grave was repeated three times. There are three divisions of the temple, and three, five, and seven steps. A master works with chalk, charcoal, and a vessel of clay. There are three movable and three immovable jewels. The triangle appears amongst the symbols. The two parallel lines enclosing the circle are connected at the top, as are the columns symbolizing the equilibrium, which explains the great mysteries of nature. The continual reproduction of the number three is not accidental nor without a profound meaning, and we shall find the same repeated in all ancient philosophies. So, a slight little mention here by Albert Pike in the great book, Morals and Dogma. And this is under the 26th degree Prince of Mercy or Scottish Trinitarian section of the text. Now I have to mention, while I'm reading here from this ancient copy of Morals and Dogma, you would be really missing out if you did not purchase Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, the annotated edition, which was annotated by Arturo de Hoyos, who really did a phenomenal job with this. So wonderful work there. Do yourself a favor and pick up a copy of this just as soon as you can. I'll have a link where you can get that in the show notes direct from the Scottish Rite Southern Jurisdiction's website. All right. Now, the probably one of the more longer explanations that we have in a book, again, we're going back to Mackie. Now, instead of the lexicon where he gives us one sentence, we actually get a little bit more. So Mackie says, chalk, charcoal, and clay. By these three substances are beautifully symbolized the three qualifications for the servitude of the entered apprentice: freedom, fervency, and zeal. Chalk is the freest of all substances because by the slightest touch leaves a trace behind. Charcoal, the most fervent, because to it, when ignited, the most obdurate metals yield. And clay, the most zealous, because it is constantly employed in man's service. And is as constantly reminding us that from it we all came, and to it we must all return. In the earlier lectures of the last century, the symbols with the same interpretation were given as chalk, charcoal, and earthen pan. Now that's a little bit more for you. Earthen pan. Let's close this book. So that's what I have in the books. Now there are some really cool essays out there. One in particular was by the Virginia Lodge of Research, which I can't read because I don't have the permission to. But just the same, if you Google it, you'll find it. One of the coolest things out there, actually, when you Google chalk, charcoal, and clay, is this set that is put together by Fossil Bluff. It's a $50 gift set, and it's a really cool shadow box, and it has a piece of chalk, a piece of charcoal, and a piece of clay in it. And he has this kind of cool description here, and you may pull something from it. It says, this Masonic shadow box chalk, charcoal, and clay artwork, titled For the Crucible, is a deeply philosophic, esoteric, and even alchemical piece of art, which will spark interest and hours of conversation. It is as much a piece of artwork as it is a Masonic teaching and learning tool. While many have received the explanation of these highly symbolic items, many have not explored the profound meanings of them. Each of these items are required to extract what is most valuable. Dig a little deeper than what your Freemason Lodge monitor may say, and you'll really appreciate this item as a conversation piece. And the best part is that non-Masons will simply chalk it up to being a piece of art and not a reminder from your first degree. It's really cool. He actually offers it in a couple different finishes. But anyway, I'll have a link back to that also so you can check it out if you're interested. It's pretty cool. I actually have one myself. I'm not selling them. I promise, but it was something that was really kind of cool to come up with and give you a little bit on this. Something else that I found just absolutely wonderful out there, if you guys follow Jared Stanley, he does the What is a Mason, and he's got a really great YouTube channel, and I would love to just share with you a link in the show notes. Please check it out. He does a 4-minute and 7-second video on the third lecture talk on chalk, charcoal, and clay. And I think it is absolutely worth it. Please check that out as well. Now, something else that I did find on the web was a short few paragraphs here on freedom, fervency, and zeal. Chalk, charcoal, and clay submitted by Steve Grant and is available on the GFN Treasure Chest Archives. So I'll link back to that also so you can check that website out. But here it is. It says, freedom, fervency, and zeal. Chalk, charcoal, and clay, the three C's of Freemasonry. The symbolism relating to the freedom, fervency, and zeal in our lectures today can also be found in the earliest known records of degree work in the 18th century. These three qualities of the entered apprentice are said to distinguish the servitude of the apprentice The word servitude being used here is, to me, interesting, especially when we explore the meaning of the three C's. The first is chalk, freedom. Okay, servitude and why it's interesting to me. One definition of freedom is to be a state of exemption from the control or power of another. Another definition would be not bound or not in any captivity. It is a rule in Freemasonry that no man can be initiated into any degree of Freemasonry who is at that time restrained or deprived of any of his liberties. So servitude, as it is used by Brother Mackey, does not mean the apprentice in any respect in the position of being deprived of his freedom as a bondsman, serf, or slave. As far as freedom, fervency, and zeal are concerned, it means that the apprentice's work should be done freely and in freedom, meaning willingly, generously, readily, and without restraint. So the word freedom is not taken in this part of the ritual as meaning liberty. It is rather meant in the earlier Anglo-Saxon meaning of frankness and a generous and willingness to work or perform one's duty. The second C, charcoal, is fervency. As charcoal symbolizes fervency, the apprentice will show his fervency in his warmth, friendliness, and earnestness, in his eagerness and willingness to learn the lessons of Freemasonry, and in his willingness to help his lodge as opportunities arise. A quality of charcoal is also durability. It is so resistant and enduring that from the time when no man remembers when, surveyors would place a shovel full of charcoal near a place or other marker so that if the landmark were to be removed, the charcoal would remain there for centuries until it was dug up by another surveyor. Charcoal will not be consumed or cease to exist until it has a source of oxygen and has been touched by fire. When applying the symbolism of charcoal to the Mason, his devotion to duty, his willingness and eagerness, his fervor for learning and working in Freemasonry will not be short-lived. The third C, clay, is zeal. Clay is an interesting symbol to represent zeal because zeal is represented by enthusiasm, diligence, and an ardent affection. So to be zealous means to be ardently active, devoted, and diligent in devotion to a task, or in this case, to the fraternity. Clay is also interesting to me because if you have ever tried farming or gardening in clay soil, you know how ardent you need to be in working clay ground. Clay in this case represents Mother Earth, which is always employed for man's use. This also reminds me of the use each Freemason can be to the craft, and also to each other as friends and brothers. So there you have your information on the three C's, equaling out to be freedom, fervency, and zeal. Perhaps this has quenched your thirst, and I hope it did. I hope you found it edifying. But that's going to be it this week, guys. I told you a short episode, so I hope you don't mind. I do have to get on the road, and I want you guys to all take care of yourselves, be well, stay safe, and I want to once again thank our contributors, fellows, and producers of the program. If you want to learn more about how to support this show, head on over to WCYpodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out those options. With that, I'll talk to you all next week. With any luck, I'll score some cool talks with some really cool people real soon. But until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.